te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8. Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit saved. Text 12. Tarhi Eva Ata Munishresta Pandava Pancha Sakyan Atmanah Abhimukhan Diptan Alakshya Astrani Upadadu Tarhe vata muni shresta Pandava panchasakayan Atmano bimukhan diptan Alakshya Stranupadadu Tarheva Tamuni Shresta Pandava Panchasakayan Atmano Bimukhan Diptan Alakshya Stranupadadu Tarheva Tamuni Shresta Pandava Panchasakayan Atmano Bimukhan Diptan Alakshya Stranupadadu Vaishnavis.
Mandava Panchasakayan.
Sarhi. Then. Eva. Also. Ata. Therefore. Muni Shrestha. O chief among the Munis. Pandava. All the sons of Pandu. Pancha. Five. Sakyan. Weapons. Atmana. Own selves. Abhimukhan. Towards. Diptan. Glaring. Alakshya. Seeing it. Astrani. Weapons. Upadadu. Took up. Translation. O foremost among the great thinkers, Munis, Shonaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding toward them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. Please repeat. O foremost among the great thinkers, Munis, Shonaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra, proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Brahmastras are finer than the nuclear weapons. Aswatthama discharged the Brahmastra simply to kill the Pandavas, namely the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira and their only grandson, who was lying within the womb of Uttara. Therefore, the Brahmastra, more effective and finer than the atomic weapons, was not as blind as the atomic bombs. When the atomic bombs are discharged, they do not discriminate between the target and others. Mainly, the atomic bombs do harm to the innocent because there is no control. The Brahmastra is not like that. It marks out the target and proceeds accordingly without harming the innocent. Now, the next verse, as you can see clearly from the purport, is read along with this verse. I'm going to go ahead to the next verse also. Text 13. Vayasam vikshyatadtesham ananya vishayatmanam sudarshanena svastrena svanam raksham vyadad vibhu. Vyasanam vikshyatad tesham ananya vishayatmanam sudarshanena svastrena svanam raksham vyavad vibhu. Vyasanam. Great danger. Vikshya. Having observed tat that tesham there ananya no other Vishaya means Atmanam, thus inclined. Sudarshanena, the wheel of Sri Krishna. Svaastrena, by the weapon. Svanam, of his own devotees. Raksham, protection. Vyadat, did it. Vibhu, the Almighty. Translation. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees, who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. Please repeat. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees, who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmastra, the supreme weapon released by Aswatthama, was something similar to the nuclear weapon, but with more radiation and heat. The Brahmastra is the product of a more subtle science, being the product of a finer sound, a mantra recorded in the Vedas. Another advantage of this weapon is that it is not blind like the nuclear weapon, because it can be directed only to the target and nothing else. Aswatthama released the weapon just to finish all the male members of the Pandu family. Therefore, in one sense, it was more dangerous than the atomic bombs, because it could penetrate even the most protected place and would never miss the target. Knowing all this, Lord Sri Krishna at once took up his personal weapon to protect his devotees, who did not know anyone other than Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has clearly promised that his devotees are never to be vanquished. And he behaves according to the quality or degree of the devotional service rendered by the devotees. Here the word Ananya Vishayatmanam is significant. The Pandavas were 100% dependent on the protection of the Lord, although they were all great warriors themselves. But the Lord neglects even the greatest warriors and also vanquishes them in no time. When the Lord saw that there was no time for the Pandavas to counteract the Brahmastra of Aswatthama, he took up his weapon, even at the risk of breaking his own vow. Although the battle of Kurukshetra was almost finished, still, according to his vow, he should not have taken up his own weapon. But the emergency was more important than the vow. He is better known as the Bhaktavatsala, for the lover of his devotee. And thus he preferred to continue as Bhaktavatsala than to be a worldly moralist who never breaks his solemn vow. Translation again. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees, who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. Hare Krishna. So, this is a great honor and pleasure to be here on the occasion of the Prabhupada Festival, in the presence of so many of Prabhupada's followers. We learn a lot about Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, not only because of his teachings, but also from his example. It is sometimes said that the spiritual master is the transparent via media to Krishna. He is Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada certainly, empowered representative. And therefore he acted as Krishna's agent and also Krishna's representative. And he manifested all the qualities of Krishna that are possible for a living entity, even an empowered one. So here in this verse, Lord Krishna is manifesting his quality of Bhaktavatsala. Vatsal is related to the word vatsa, which means cow. Cows are very affectionate to their calves. And that type of affection, deep love, is there in Krishna for his devotees. But devotees also are surrendered to Krishna or dependent on Krishna to different degrees. And as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamam prapadyante, as all surrender unto him, he reciprocates. So as Srila Prabhupada said, if you're 1% for Krishna, he'll be 1% for you. If you're 10% for Krishna, he'll be 10% for you. And if you're 100% for Krishna, he'll be 100% for you. So here, the words, as Srila Prabhupada says, ananya vishayatmanam, are very significant, because ananya means no other, and vishaya means. They had no other means of protection besides Sri Krishna. They were fully dependent on him. And therefore, he immediately responded to protect them, even at the cost of breaking his own promise. But although it is said in Anya Vishayatmanam that they had no other means of protection, it's also mentioned that they Alaksha Astrani Upadadu, they took up their weapons. So they had no other means of protection besides Krishna, and they were fully dependent on him, but at the same time they took up their own weapons to try to counteract the attack. And that is an instruction for all of us, a simple principle which we've probably heard many times, that we make our best effort and at the same time depend on the mercy of the Lord. This principle was vividly demonstrated in the Damodar Leela, the pastime of Mother Yashoda attempting to bind Lord Damodar, her son Krishna, with ropes, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it's a whole story, and I hope most of you are aware of it. But basically, Mother Yashoda had been feeding baby Krishna with her breast milk, and then the milk that was on the fire began to boil over. And thus Mother Yashoda set aside baby Krishna, although he wasn't satisfied, to tend to the milk on the fire that was boiling over. And Srila Prabhupada explains that everything in the household of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's service. And sometimes in Krishna's service, one has to set aside one important duty to do another important duty. And the intelligence by which one determines what to do first and what to do next comes from Krishna himself within the heart. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. So she set aside Krishna because it was urgent that she attend to the milk that was boiling over. But he became angry because he wasn't satisfied. And so in his anger, he broke a pot of butter that was hanging from the rafters and started to eat it and share it with his friends and monkeys. So but he knew that he would get in trouble, so he began to run away. And the soles of his feet had been, you could say, marked by the ghee or the butter and yogurt. So when Mother Yashoda returned, she saw his footprints, and she suspected that this mischief was the act of Krishna, her son. So she began to follow those footprints, and she was chasing him. But it's described that, you know, she was heavier than he was. He was little. He was able to run ahead of her. But after some time, although he cannot be caught by anyone, even the greatest yogis, he allowed himself to be caught by her. So then she wanted to bind his belly or abdomen, udara, with ropes, as a punishment, but really more just to keep him from causing further mischief. But she found that the ropes were 2 inches too short, or two fingers too short. And she was perplexed because every morning she would tie Krishna's belt around him. And she never had any problem. But anyway, she got some more ropes, but still 2 inches too short. And more ropes. And she had a lot of ropes because they were in a cowherd community. No matter how many ropes she tied together, it was too short. And all the neighbors, they brought their ropes and added them. It was still too short. So then the Bhagavatam describes that Krishna, seeing Mother Yasoda's hard labor, took compassion on her, and by his mercy he allowed her to bind him. So in the Sanskrit of the Bhagavatam, there are two important words. One is parishram, which means hard labor, very hard labor. And the other is Krishna Kripa, which means Krishna's mercy. And our acharyas, Shiva Jiva Goswami, Shiva Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and others, they comment that in order to bind Krishna, these two elements must be there. These are the two fingers that were too short. And if we close that gap, well, we can only do one part of it, but if that gap is closed by these two elements, we can bind Krishna. And the one element is parishram, our hard labor, and the other is Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. So here, the Pandavas also demonstrated that principle. They took up their weapons. They were ready to do their part. The fact that Ananya, that they had no other means, doesn't mean that they didn't do their part. So they took up their weapons. But Krishna, seeing that there was no time for them to employ their weapons against the Brahmastra, he intervened with his Sudarshan disc to protect them. Even at the cost of breaking his promise not to take up weapons. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that it was more important to Krishna to be the protector of his devotees, Bhaktivatsala, than keep his word. Now this partiality of Krishna, of being Bhaktivatsala, there's a very interesting discussion by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as to how does one get bhakti. It's a very important question. How does one get bhakti? So someone could say that the answer is Krishna's mercy. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that cannot be the answer, because Krishna is equal to everyone. As Srila Prabhupada was saying in the lecture that we heard yesterday, he's the father of all living entities. So as the Supreme Father, he has to be equal to all of his children. So the answer can't be his, that it's his mercy. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the answer could be presented that it's the devotee's mercy. And he says that then the question could be raised, well, then that means a devotee is partial. But then he says that the preacher, the Madhyam Bhakta, does make distinctions, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Peksha. Prema, he gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maitri, he makes friendship with devotees. Kripa, he gives mercy to the innocent. And Upeksha, he neglects the envious. And he says that partiality in a devotee is not a fault. It's not a dushanam, but it's an ornament, bhushanam. And then, because Krishna's only business is with devotees, when the devotee gives his mercy and prays to Krishna for the sake of some fallen soul, then Krishna follows with his mercy. And so that's not a fault in the devotee or in Krishna. So I'm sure all of us here are recipients of a devotee's mercy. In my case, when Srila Prabhupada initiated me in Los Angeles, I was in Boston, but he was in Los Angeles. I was initiated by mail. And after writing him and requesting initiation, just a few days after that, we were on Harinam Sankirtan in Boston. And I felt this amazing sense as if, first of all, that I wasn't the body. I had just a clear perception that I wasn't the body, and I felt some sort of ecstasy or something. I started to cry. And so I mentioned it to the other devotees, and they said, you know, it could be that at that very moment, Srila Prabhupada was chanting on your beads and initiating you. And it seemed very likely that that was the case. You know, so I was initiated in Los Angeles, and in his initiation letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that your name is Giriraj. Giriraj is a name for the Govardhan mountain where Krishna used to tend his cows. Now, that name had a very big, significant effect on me. Of course, it's a wonderful name. But my previous name, family name, was Teton, Glenn Teton. And we were quite proud of the Grand Teton Mountains, because they're very beautiful. And in my youth, I saw a a movie where, like, not a movie, a television show. A television show where some, you know, rich man, he was living in the Teton Mountains. So I was like, yeah, the Teton Mountains are the best place. And then later, after coming to Krishna consciousness, some of that false pride was still there. Because I heard that Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford, had been in the Teton Mountains. Oh, yeah, it's confirmed. The Teton Mountains are the best place. So when I got this initiation letter that Giriraj is a name for the Govardhan Mountain, I thought, wow. You know, it's like I had that false attachment for a mountain, and then, but Srila Prabhupada has given me a better mountain to become attached to. So, yeah, so, yeah. But then on this point about praying, he wrote, so I marked it in your presence when I met you in Boston. And I prayed to Krishna that this good soul may become aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness. So it was really Srila Prabhupada's prayer that delivered me in that sense. And certainly Krishna would respond to Srila Prabhupada's prayer, because Prabhupada was completely surrendered to Krishna. And not only that, but taking up the most important service to Krishna, which is preaching. And Srila Prabhupada also gave that example that when a father, because they're saying that Krishna is the Supreme Father, he's equal to everyone, that when the father is crossing the street with his children and then suddenly some vehicle comes, his first thought will be to protect the youngest child, because the youngest child is the most dependent on him. And Srila Prabhupada related that to the preacher, that the preacher takes the most risk for Krishna and therefore is the most dependent on him. And therefore, although Krishna loves all of his children, but he'll respond to protect the preacher first. And as Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that one who explains the secret to the devotees is most dear to me, and there will never be one more dear. And in the end, you know, devotional service is guaranteed, and he will come back to me. So that was Srila Prabhupada. He just, like, gave everything to preach without any consideration. Like he said, I walked through fire to establish this movement. So we are totally dependent on Srila Prabhupada and completely obliged to him. You know, when we think of where we were before and where we are now, there's a huge difference. You know, if we look at the direction we were headed in before and where we ended up now, we'll see we ended up in a very different place than we were headed. And that is because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And he gave protection to his devotees, of course, mainly spiritual. That word raksha, protection. Krishna protected the Pandavas. So Prabhupada protected us from our from deviation. You know, our own tendencies within our hearts to deviate, and outside influences that could, sort of encourage us to deviate. So he protected. He was very alert and vigilant if he saw some deviation was coming into the movement or some fad, you know. Even during Prabhupada's presence, different fads, you know, there were health fads, all sorts of things. We were listening the other day about sugar. So that was like, anyway, we can, but I guess I have to say, in case some of you were not present, but in one temple, Prabhupada asked for sugar, and they didn't have sugar, because I guess the managers thought it was unhealthy to eat sugar. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's okay. You know, if they don't want to eat sugar, they don't have to, but they should have sugar in the temple. Krishna likes sugar. You know, they have to offer Krishna what he likes. So, yeah, different fads. So Prabhupada also protected us from those things, you know, to keep us completely aligned with Krishna consciousness. And, in a way you could say he protected us from each other. I mean, sometimes devotees would fight with each other, and orally, verbally, generally. And he spent so much time. I mean, it's in retrospect, it's sort of a pity that we made him spend so much time mediating our differences between each other. One example that comes to mind was the Hyderabad farm. There were three very, you could say, sort of independent-minded, strong-willed leaders of that project. And they were quite often coming in conflict with each other. And Srila Prabhupada instructed them that you get together, you fight like cats and dogs, and then when you all agree, you go ahead. So that was a good instruction. But it so happened that one of those three leaders came to Juhu. I guess he was, I don't know. And so he came into Srila Prabhupada's room. I happened to be there. And he was just unburdening himself, like all of his trials and tribulations and miseries. And Prabhupada just listened. He was a very patient listener. And that gave some solace, you know, to that leader. And this is another point I'll mention, that raksha, because when I read that word raksha, I thought of goraksha, because we always hear the duties of a vaisha krishi, goraksha, vanijam vaisha karma, sabhavajam. So that leader had a plan to, I guess you could say, develop a superior breed of cows that would produce more milk. And then when people would see how valuable the cows were, they wouldn't kill them. Something like that. And, because it would be so lucrative to keep the cow alive. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is not our idea, you know, why we protect cows, so that we can become big capitalists and make lots of money. He said, we protect the cows because Krishna wants it. And then he quoted that Krishi Gorakshya Vanicham. And well, you know, even if we make money or we don't make money, even if we lose money, we'll still protect the cows because Krishna wants it. Bhakti means that we do what Krishna wants to please him. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada was always keeping us on the point of pure devotional service. And because that's what pleases Krishna, and that's what ultimately will satisfy us and fulfill all our desires. So it's again wonderful to be in the midst of all of you Prabhupadanugas, followers of Srila Prabhupada. It's definitely the safest place to be. The safest place to be is under Srila Prabhupada's shelter, but we find his shelter and we stay under his shelter in the association of his followers. And you know, it's so nice. We get to read his books by his design every morning. We get to read his books, and we should read them regularly. You know, as he said, of course he wanted us to distribute his books. That was like very high priority. But he also said, you know, he didn't write the books just for us to distribute. He wrote them for us to read. And it shouldn't be that on Sankirtan someone says, oh, you want me to take this book, what's in it? And then the devotee says, well, I don't know what's in it. I just sell the books. I don't actually read them. So, we should read them very diligently, study them, apply them, of course. The books are alive, but reading the books means associating with Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara and apply those principles and distribute that knowledge for others. And that will be pleasing to our hearts and pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. Or maybe the other way around, because it's pleasing to them, it will be pleasing to our hearts. Yeah, and then we'll all go back to Godhead. I think of this one letter Srila Prabhupada wrote he was in Juhu, but he wrote it to a disciple. Nice, very nice disciple named Tushtakrishna Das. And Tushtakrishna was a follower of someone in Hawaii. He's still there. His name was Sai. And then Srila Prabhupada gave him the names Siddhaswarup. And then he took sannyas, became Siddhaswarupananda. So Tushtakrishna had been he had good followers. Our Urvasi Dasi, I don't know if she's still here, she was also with him in Hawaii. So he, apparently from Prabhupada's reply, Tushtakrishna Prabhu had written to Prabhupada, placing Siddhaswarup in a different category from all of Srila Prabhupada's other disciples. And Srila Prabhupada didn't like that. And so he wrote back that, Siddhaswarup is a good soul, but, you know, you should not be mistaken. He's a good soul, but all of my disciples are good souls. Tushtakrishna used the word pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada said, all of my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone who's surrender to the spiritual master, anyone who sincerely follows the instructions of the spiritual master is a pure devotee. You know, he may be Siddhasvarup or non-Siddhasvarup. So, you know, don't make a faction. And then Srila Prabhupada said, we will, he'll go back to, he'll go back to Godhead, and he's saying Shamsundar would go back to Godhead. I think Shamsundar was the GBC for Hawaii. He's saying, you know, so he'll go back to Godhead, and, you know, this one will go back to Godhead. Shamsundar will go back to Godhead. We'll all go back to Godhead, and we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. And then he said, only Mr. Nair, he must stay behind. Because, yeah, Mr. Nair was a big demon, a big crook. I remember once I spoke about that. I think it was relevant, very relevant to the verse. And Veera Bhava Prabhu was listening to it online. And afterwards he commented to me that I don't usually like it when devotees call other people demons. But after hearing this story of Juhu, I'm convinced that yes, he was a demon. So but other than him, everyone else can come and we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. So I'm happy to have your company here, and I look forward to having it there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, a question from...
The local circus. You were saying about Dushanam and Bhushanam, that on one hand there's no fault. The question was about mercy, and is it because of Krishna's mercy? Well, no, it's a devotee's mercy. And there's no fault in the devotee being
partial.
Yeah, but so if Krishna's faulted for being partial, why isn't the devotee also faulted for being partial? Why is the devotee's partiality considered a jewel, and Krishna's partiality, well, there's some debate about the matter?
Hi, Krishna.
Unless he wants to answer. I don't know what this young boy's up to, and I'm wondering where the father is, but that's another issue. Tell him there's prasadam. He'll go immediately.
Yes. Krishna cannot be partial because he's the father of every living entity, so he has to be equal to all of his children. But the devotee, as a madhyam bhakta, the uttama bhakta, the mahabhagavata, he doesn't show any partiality. He sees everyone equally. He sees that everyone is serving Krishna except himself. So he does see everyone equally. But the Madhyam Bhakta, by nature, by definition, he makes distinctions. That prema maitri kripopeksha. And he gives kripa to the innocent. And so that's not a fault, that's his function. And Srila Prabhupada says even the Mahabhagavata, when he preaches, he has to, in a way, come down to the Madhyam platform. Because if he stayed on the Uttama platform, he would see there's no need to preach, that everyone's already serving Krishna. So that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said it's not a fault because it's his nature, it's his function to give mercy to the innocent. I mean, that's what he says, that's what I'm repeating. And so Krishna, he really has no business with anyone except devotees, and it's because the devotee prays to him to give mercy to some non-devotee. His mercy follows the devotee's mercy. Like we see this with Krishna's chastisement of Kaliya. That he was, when Kaliya's wives prayed to him to be merciful to their husband, then he was merciful to him. So it's not a fault in Krishna to be partial devotees. It's an ornament. Yeah. And that's what Prabhupada is saying here, that even at the cost of breaking his own promise, he protected the Pandavas. And therefore he's known as Bhaktivatsala, and he wants to be known as Bhaktivatsala. It's more important than being known as a morally proper person who doesn't break his promise. But would you like to say something?
I'm satisfied. I was genuinely asking. And I was thinking, when you gave the example of the Uttama and the Madhyama, that Madhyama platform is very blissful. Everyone's engaged in Krishna's service. And so it's actually an austerity. It is an act of kindness for an Uttama to come down to the Madhyama platform, that he, just to out of kindness to deliver these people, he comes down and makes that. So it is an ornament. He's giving up his own peaceful shanti and distinguishing and reaching out to the innocent and the merciful. So it is a special qualification or jewel of a devotee. So I appreciate your answer
beautiful.
Very much.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well said. Perfect.
Just because we're in L.A. and you mentioned a Prabhupada pastime and how a devotee's mercy invokes Krishna's mercy.
Yeah.
When I was shaved up as a bhakta in Laguna Beach, then I'd been coming up here. Then Vishnu Jan Swami was, you know, the shelter of all of us. And Vishnu Jan Swami said, when he first saw me shaved up, he said, that Prabhupada had told him that when a devotee first shaves up, Radharani then goes to Krishna and says, just see this nice devotee, how he surrendered to you. And then Prabhupada told Vishnujana, and Vishnujana told me, that when Krishna is asked by Radharani, give him some shelter, Prabhupada said, how can Krishna refuse? So, of course, Radharani is special, but the devotee invoking the mercy of Krishna, as you said, very nice.
Wonderful.
I'm completely satisfied by your answer. And that rarely happens to me.
Yeah, we're all exceedingly pleased and satisfied by your contribution. Archita Prabhu?
And then thank you, Maharaj, for speaking so nicely on a short notice. We were planning to go home last night, and you changed your mind at the last moment and decided to speak this morning. Just on that point, sometimes we see within the community, it seems sometimes the leaders especially are more partial to this devotee rather than that one. But we have to look at the motive. What is the motivation behind it? Prabhupada himself, when he was leaving for India after becoming ill, if you can see it, he said to the devotees, take care of Mukunda. He's very gentle. It didn't mean don't take care of the other devotees, but Prabhupada was perceiving that this person needs some special attention because of their nature. He's very gentle. He's not going to stand up for himself, in other words. So Prabhupada's motivation wasn't that he didn't like the other devotees, but he was specially giving attention to Mukunda because he's in that category. So the leaders have to be like that. Not that he gives special attention for some ill motive because this person butters me up or whatever, then I give them reciprocation in that way. But at the same time, you have to perceive who you're dealing with. Some devotees do need special attention and special care more than the other devotees. That's just nature.
Yes.
as a manager in grid for 45 years in the Hare Krishna. There's also something, now this is just my own slice of reality or experience, that managers, oh, they're partial to this person and not part. You know, the devotee has a responsibility as well. You got to give the manager something to work with. So when you have a devotee who wants to serve and wants to help carry out the mission in a particularly willing to help, then the manager naturally engages that person more. It's not all just that the manager, you know, from deems on high, I bless you, I don't bless you. But you got to give us something to work with as a manager. So if the devotee reciprocates and takes up the mission and, you know, takes up the instruction, then naturally you give that person more attention, you know, because you're giving them a handle to hold on to. You're giving the manager something to work with. So all of us have our degree of responsibility.
Yes, yayatamam prapadyante. Naikatma Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. I mean, thank you very much. It was nice to hear all these comments about pleasing Krishna, pleasing his devotee. You mentioned at some point that Srila Prabhupada was saving us in some respect from fads like sugar. Don't overdo it on sugar. And then you went on to say something about pleasing Krishna, that Krishna likes milk. That's why we offer it to him. So my question is, or I'm asking for a comment from you, is it because nowadays we're having issues about dairy?
Yeah.
We're having issues about how dairy is acquired, how the cows are treated.
Mm-hmm.
So is it pleasing to Krishna that seeing how the cows are being treated, that milk is offered to him, considering how we get it, because it's, sometimes it's not ahimsa, as some people are infatuated by. So again, my question is that pleasing to Krishna that he's being offered this milk from cows that are mistreated? Should we or should we not?
Well, the way you phrase the question, you put two things together. You know, is it pleasing that Krishna is being offered milk that's from cows that are being mistreated? Well, Krishna is not pleased that the cows are being mistreated. But he is pleased that we're offering him milk because he likes milk. And I mean, of course, during Prabhupada's time, the case was the same. And he encouraged us, you know, to protect cows or to get milk from protected cows, but he didn't tell us not to offer milk if we couldn't get it from protected cows. And I mean, the way I look at it, it is true of plants that, you know, if a plant gives, say, of course we're not killing the plant, but say a tree produces an apple, then we offer that apple to Krishna. So the apple tree gets some spiritual benefit or credit because it gave its fruit for Krishna. So even though the keepers of the cows are merciless, ruthless, materialists, but it would seem, based on that logic, that the cow would get some benefit by its milk being offered to Krishna. So I don't know. I mean, it's a bit of a controversial subject. I don't claim to have any particular insight into it that others don't have, but I mean, coming back to sugar, I heard, like in the old days during Prabhupada's time, that the sugar, something about bones. Does anyone remember that?
I still do, but it was part of the way it gets that white and small crystals that they filter through charred.
It's bleached.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention. But he still said, you know, you can use the sugar to offer to Krishna. So sort of like, I mean, every endeavor is covered by some fault. I mean, in Kali Yuga, there's like faults everywhere. I mean, it would be ideal if we had our own cows, but I just sort of feel if it, you know, it's not all that different from when Prabhupada was here, and he said to offer milk and offer sugar and to Krishna. And, I think we probably do it here, and I think we should continue. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, on that point, even during Prabhupada festival, I was approached by some Prabhupada disciples on the point of milk. And one of them gave me a comment that during Prabhupada's time, which was about 40 years back, the milk only had fish oil or certain things. Today, the milk has more things that makes it not suitable for us to offer. And I hear disciples, senior disciples, Prabhupada disciples, and even my generation mentioning the point about PTC, that Prabhupada said do everything according to place, time and circumstance. However, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Prabhupada's books, we know that Kali Yuga is only going to become worse. We know that this is not a gentleman's place. But are we not contradicting Srila Prabhupada by trying to limit Srila Prabhupada by having that notion in our mind that Srila Prabhupada did not know that milk is only going to become worse? Because their point, and I'm just trying to understand this point, there's a point, place, time, circumstance, that we have to be practical, but there's a point that you are trying internally to have a limiting factor on a guru who knew what is going to happen. Our acharyas knew what is going to happen. So in place with this, should we use the place, time, circumstance in trying to factor what should be done? Or should we follow, because in Srila Prabhupada's books it says, milk is liquid religion. That we shouldn't be taking milk because it is liquid religion. Srila Prabhupada says that very clearly in the first canto in the Bhagavatam. So please, can you guide us, a second generation, what should we do? Place, time, circumstance? Or should we follow Srila Prabhupada's books?
Well, it seems like you already have the answer. And I agree with you that we should offer milk and take milk if we want. And like Prabhupada was telling the artists that they should paint the figures, that they shouldn't be like too muscular and sinewy and all that, because we're milk eaters. So we should have like, should look like, the people in the artwork should look like milk eaters. So we should also look like milk eaters.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Even if we don't drink milk. Anyway, thank you. Oh, yes, yes.
Maharaj, do you not think that actually we have a great opportunity right now to set a precedent for the world to follow? Because a lot of people, you know, in the outside world are very much into vegan, they're very much into organic. Why can't we make the next step and make something that's above all that, something that's completely pure and completely amazing, that actually gives real health, real intelligence, and be able to distribute that to the world and be a leader instead instead of just being like, oh, well, what can we do? And, you know, Prabhupada, he said that according to time, place, and circumstances. And I think if we asked him today, he may give us a different answer. And I just, I thought it might be a different way of seeing things, a little bit more, something maybe more progressive.
Okay. Yes, Ramachar Prabhu.
Partly in response to that, my understanding from Srila Prabhupada is what you had earlier said, that the way to set the example is not to not use milk. The way to set the example is to have farm communities that protect cows and have protected cow milk. So if our goal is to set an example about milk in the world, that's the way to do it. Not to ban milk that's not protected, but to be much more proactive in protecting cows and introducing that type of milk. And I wanted to mention one other thing, which is really controversial and will be very, very... And this is going to be a huge challenge for future generations, because they may not know how to take what Prabhupada said. He had said, I have this in my diary, that in the future of Kali Yuga, when great unemployment forces people out of cities to our farm communities, many of those people coming will be meat eaters, and we have to accept them, not by saying you can only come by giving up meat right away. And I have in my diary also that he even said that there will be a section of our city of Mayapur of the future for meat eaters, and that in both of those examples, Prabhupada said, and gradually by association, they will give it up, but not that they have to give it up before they come. Now, this is some great time in the future of Kali Yuga. This is going to be very challenging to devotees, that a section of our future farm communities may have to allow for meat eaters, with the understanding that they will gradually give it up by the practice, by serving Krishna, and by associating with devotees. But it's what Prabhupada said.
Well,
not our generation. Yes.
Let's get quality milk. Then we'll worry about the floods of meat eaters and nothing else.
All right. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Thank you.